Just before you start listening to this podcast, a reminder that we have a special subscription offer. You can get 12 issues of The Spectator for £12, as well as a £20 Amazon voucher. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher if you'd like to get this offer.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Coffee House Shots, where I'm joined by James Forsyth and Raphael Hogarth, Associate at the Institute of Government. So today we have had the news that Boris Johnson's suspension of the UK Parliament is unlawful, at least that's according to Scotland's highest civil court. We are now going to try and make sense of that judgment. So starting with you, Raphael, what does this ruling mean?
Well, what the Scottish court has said, the inner house of the Court of Session, is that the prorogation of Parliament was unlawful because it limited Parliament's ability to scrutinise the executive and because that was its purpose. So what it means is that essentially now this is going to have to be heard by the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court hears an appeal on Tuesday, which will take in both an appeal by the government of this ruling in Scotland and an appeal by challengers to the government of a ruling in England, which went the other way. So the Supreme Court will have the final word on Tuesday.
James, I've seen today, perhaps even walking to this podcast recording, several MPs walking to Parliament. And we've seen Hilary Benn, also Joe Swinson, some SNP MPs trying to make the point that they think that this judgment means that Parliament has to be recalled, that Parliament should be sitting right now, and they want to make a statement about that. Does the government have to recall Parliament?
Not yet. Basically, not until Tuesday. I don't mean this, though, correct me when I go wrong here, I don't mean the Court of Session has actually issued the order for Parliament to come back yet. And the idea is this will wait until Tuesday in the Supreme Court judgment. The wrinkle in this is that the Supreme Court decides cases appeal to it on the basis of a law of a jurisdiction from which the case came. So that means it will decide the Gina Miller case according to English law and this case according to Scottish law. So it could come to a decision that the proroguing was legal under English law, but not legal under Scottish law. And if that is the judgment, Parliament would have to come back because this is the Parliament of the whole United Kingdom. And the proroguing has to be as lawful in North Berwick as it is in North Kensington. So essentially, that is why. So the government needs to win both cases on Tuesday. I think there's also an interesting argument here because the High Court in London essentially said this is a political decision, and so it doesn't actually matter whether, in terms of a court case, it's not up to the court to decide whether Boris Johnson was being straight with the Queen when he said this was about a Queen's speech or what. Using proroguing as a political tool is legitimate. And I think there is, and before everyone kind of faints in shock and horror, I think there is a reasonable argument here, which is Parliament has weapons available to it in its arsenal to deal with an executive that wants to behave in this way. And it is consciously choosing not to use them. It could pull down the government. It could no confidence the government, which is clearly what it should do. If the legislature has no confidence in the executive on the biggest issue of the day, the right constitutional action is to pull down the government. And I think if you look at this, and you look at the refusal to grant an election. This is one of these kind of bad arguments that happens at the end of a children's party when everyone's got overexcited and everyone is behaving badly. But there is a clear case here that the best remedy to the current trouble we find ourselves in is a general election. Because that is something that would resolve this tension where the executive is trying to go one way and Parliament is trying to go another. When that is happening, the British system doesn't work. And that is why we desperately do need a general election to resolve this.
Raphael, one of the implications of this ruling is that the Queen is the person who actually agreed to the prorogation. Does this mean Her Majesty has become embroiled in illegal behaviour?
I don't think it does mean that. What the Court of Session said was that the Prime Minister's advice to Her Majesty and the prorogation which followed were unlawful. So you could say, well, does that mean that the order in council, which came from Her Majesty, was unlawful and Her Majesty acted unlawfully? I mean, I don't think anybody would try to suggest that the Queen is in any way sort of legally culpable because the Queen acts on the advice of her ministers and that was the advice she got. And I think that's why the challengers in this case focused their attention, focused their legal arguments on the advice given by the Prime Minister. But I think the ruling is interesting in terms of its implications for the government and the Queen, the government and the palace. Because obviously, if what the court has essentially said is that the rationale given by the government for the prorogation is not its true rationale. So it says it wanted a new legislative agenda to bring forward a new Queen's speech. What it was really trying to do was limit Parliament's ability to scrutinise Brexit. Well, if the Prime Minister gave the Queen the same justification for the prorogation that he gave to the rest of us, then that would imply that the Prime Minister had misled the Queen. That would obviously be a very constitutionally serious position to be in, precisely because the Queen acts on the advice of her ministers.
I think there is another effect to this, which is, don't forget the elephant in the room, which is the extension legislation, the Benn Bill. Number 10 are remarkably sanguine about this piece of legislation. And Boris Johnson kind of elliptically said at Cabinet yesterday that, you know, what he was planning to do about it would come clear nearer the time. I think this defeat, even if the Supreme Court upholds the government's view, means it would be very difficult for the government to do anything which doesn't look like obviously complying with the Benn legislation, unless it can produce at the same time as it acts the legal advice on which it is basing its decision to do that. I think that is going to now become a much bigger issue. Because I think if the government tries to push the law to its boundary in such a way it's going to end up challenged in court, I think cabinet ministers are going to want to see the legal advice on which that is based first now, after this. And I think there will be, because, you know, I think, again, there are tensions and problems here. I mean, I think one consequence of this, which will be interesting to see, you know, whether the legal advice gets, you know, whether we get a humble address for legal advice or not, is I wonder whether insufficient attention was paid to Scots law in the advice that the Prime Minister received. I wonder whether people essentially took the view that English law takes this particular view that, and about the role of Parliament and, you know, that balance between Parliament and the executive.
Are we now in a full-blown constitutional crisis?
No, I don't think we are in a constitutional crisis. I think we're still in a political crisis. And the reason that I think that, I mean, I know everybody wants us to be in a constitutional crisis, but for me...
I'm relaxed.
For me, the definition of a constitutional crisis is that you no longer know who is making the rules. There is uncertainty about who is in control. So I think we're getting quite close to that. And if MPs were to turn up in the House of Commons this afternoon and try to sit with MPs saying a sovereign parliament is currently in session and the government saying, no, it's not, the Court of Session hasn't made the order, that I think you could legitimately call a constitutional crisis, because you essentially don't know whether the people in control right now are in Westminster or Whitehall. But I think what we see now is the wheels of the Constitution turning. So we've had this judgment from the Court of Session. It's going to the Supreme Court. And although we've had whispers of people saying, oh, judges are biased or some of this for political reasons or whatever, I think people are proceeding on the assumption that what the Supreme Court says goes. If the Supreme Court says that the prorogation was unlawful, then Parliament needs to be sitting again in very short order. And if it says that the prorogation was lawful, well then, as you were. And I think so long as we stay in that territory, we're not in constitutional crisis, we're in political crisis. But I do think that the situation which James raises of the Supreme Court or the courts in general getting kind of weaponized and used in an election campaign or other political debate, that is a really dangerous one. That's not something that we want to see from the government or from the SNP sort of saying the courts are making their decisions for political reasons. That's certainly not how the courts see their job. And, you know, if you read big constitutional judgments like the Miller judgment on Article 50 or indeed the High Court's judgment on prorogation, the courts are at pains to stress that they are deciding legal questions on the basis of legal precedent, and they really don't want to go near the politics. They want to leave that to politicians.
So I think we are slightly in a... I slightly disagree. I think we are actually in a constitutional crisis, because I think Parliament is putting the courts in this position. Parliament has a... I mean, not to sound like a broken record, Parliament has the remedy to all this in its own hands, and it won't take it. And Parliament, therefore, is dragging the courts into the political process. That is the problem here. Now, Parliament is asking the courts, and parliamentarians are asking the courts to decide questions that most lay people would consider to be political. I'm not talking about from a strictly legal point of view, but what the average man on the Clapham Omnibus would consider this question to be a political question, not a legal question. And this is the problem. Because parliamentarians won't use the tools at their disposal, they are forcing judges, they are dragging judges into a highly charged political arena to make decisions. And that is, you know, that is why it would be so much better if they simply no confidence the government, and we ended up having, you know, and they either installed a new government or we had an election, and then we basically resolved all of this way. Because I think the problem is that we're going to see this carry on. I mean, I thought it was likely beforehand. I think it's now certain. But the day before we leave the European Union, there is going to be, whatever date that is, there is going to be some court case going on with someone trying to say, this shouldn't be allowed to happen because of X, Y, or Z. And I think this is a real problem. And I think that parliamentarians need to use the tools at their disposal to solve these questions, rather than expecting somebody else to do it for them.
But James, you could argue that Boris Johnson has one tool at his disposal as a parliamentarian too, couldn't you? Which is that he could resign.
I think if it comes to it, on the Benn legislation, it would be much, much better for him to resign rather than to end up in a situation where the law is being, you know, it would not be enough on the Benn legislation to find one QC somewhere who'll write you an opinion saying, yeah, I think you can do that. You would need to be taking it would certainly need to be a position that the Attorney General was comfortable with, and it would need to be a position that was kind of legally credible. And if you can't do that, he should resign. Because if I don't think you can get into a situation where the Prime Minister is defying the law or trying to kind of, you know, do the constitutional equivalent of calling, who is the person who gets all the celebrities off the drink drive convictions? Do you remember Mr. Loophole or whatever it is? You know, so, you know, that kind of thing, I think, it's not drink drive, it's speeding. I should be clear. Litigious lot lawyers. No, and I do worry, because I think you've now got a situation where everyone is being dragged into this political arena who shouldn't be. You know, the monarch is being dragged into politics. The courts are being dragged into politics. It would be much better if this was resolved in the cockpit of a nation, which is Parliament.
Thank you, James. Thank you, Raphael.